You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hello, Jubilee. Happy Easter. I miss you. Live streaming has been great. It's been wonderful to see many of your faces in the Zoom rooms and our virtual prayer room. However, I really miss gathering together. Hopefully you do too. But hello to anybody else who's listening. You're very welcome to our virtual church. Jubilee is known for its warm welcome, and so please feel very warmly welcomed. We love having you with us too. And do get in touch if you'd like to at jubilee.church. I love the Easter message. It's for me a message of great hope and joy and love. The whole Easter week has so many profound truths in it and climaxes like that awful death and wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus's dying and resurrection happened in a moment in history, but that idea of death and resurrection carries on even to today. It's a hope that Christians have that when we die, we will find resurrection and eternal life. That's what Easter is all about for us. That's why we celebrate it. But perhaps there's another type of death and resurrection in these particularly strange times in which we're living. I sense a real sense of grief and loss, death, if you like, of what was. And yet into this loss, resurrection hope can shine. Our passage today is from John's Gospel, and it's chapter 20. Let's read it together, shall we? On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is a wonderful passage from the Gospel of John about those moments after Jesus's resurrection. As we self-isolate from the COVID-19 virus, in many ways, there's a real understandable sense of loss and grieving for many. Perhaps it's a loss of connection. We're feeling desperate to see people. Perhaps there's a loss of feeling safe. There's fear and anxiety about catching the virus or concern about one of our family members becoming ill. Or perhaps we're on the front line serving in the NHS as one of the heroes or one of the other type of key workers who are so important at this time. Perhaps we feel a sense of loss of control. We no longer feel able to do what we want to do. Or perhaps we feel overwhelmed with too much to do, home educating and working. And we're grieving a loss of our own time. Perhaps we feel a bit aimless with our routines out of sync. Perhaps we've been furloughed and actually are not sure what we should be doing with our time. Perhaps we've lost a job. Connection, safety, self-determination, purpose are foundational psychological needs for everyone. And so losing these in this strange times that we're living can lead to all sorts of emotions and even the five stages of loss: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Well, this passage today speaks into what we're experiencing right now. So let's begin, shall we? On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. This is the evening of the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. That morning, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. You can read that in John chapter 20. But now he appears to the 11 there were then disciples. And notice three things. The doors were locked. They were frightened. And Jesus came to them and stands in their midst. And these three facts tell us three things we can know about how the risen Jesus deals with us, even today, I think. So what does it show us, perhaps? The doors were locked. Jesus didn't have to knock. He didn't even have to open the door. He was simply there. And he wasn't a ghost. If you look at verse 20, it says he showed them his hands and his feet. In Luke's gospel, he said, "Touch me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Luke 24. He has a physical resurrection body. It's a mysterious thing. It's not like ours, and yet it is like ours. Same, yet different. But the point was that he was simply there, in spite of them being shut in and the doors closed. Which means that today in our lives, Jesus can go where no one else can go and simply be there. We're limited in our ability to move around at present, but Jesus isn't. He can reach you and me and reach us anywhere at any time. Secondly, Jesus, it says that they were afraid, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. That was their situation. Their leader had just been crucified as a threat to Jerusalem. People were looking for them. Their fear was totally understandable. And into that fear, Jesus comes. Now, the world's fear of COVID-19 is completely understandable. We look at the TV, people in hospitals, and it is disturbing and it is frightening. And especially for those on the front line, it is a frightening time. But in this passage, into their fear, Jesus arrives. And what Jesus is saying in doing this is, I come to my own when they are afraid. I don't wait for them to get their act together. I don't wait for them to have enough faith to overcome fear. I come to help them have faith to overcome fear. He's saying that to us now, I think, too. Third thing from these verses is Jesus comes and stands among them. He came right into the middle of their meeting. He didn't come to the edge and call out from a distance as a distant deity. He wasn't playing games with them. He wasn't toying with their faith. He wasn't playing hide and seek. He wanted them to see him and to know him and to believe in him and to love him. And that's what he wants for you today. And that's what I want for you today. I want you to experience the living Jesus, to know him, to have him draw near into your life where no one else can, in ways no one else can, to have him help you in your fear in a way that no one else can, and to have him come to you, close to you, not calling to you from a distance, but coming right where you are. That's what I pray happens, even as you listen to this podcast. Maybe you're isolated away from people, but Jesus can simply be there. And Jesus says three things, and in these three things are three gifts that he gives us. He gives us a gift of peace, a gift of power, and a gift of purpose. The opposite of peace is fear, and the opposite of power is weakness, and the opposite of purpose is aimlessness. And so what gifts are these in this crisis when we are feeling fearful and weak and aimless and purposeless? This Easter, Jesus comes to give those same good gifts to you and me, I think, right into our rooms right now. He comes to bring peace and power and purpose to us. So let's start with the first P, peace. Peace be with you, he says. Two times he says it, peace be with you. Before Jesus says anything about purpose or power, he wants to establish peace in our hearts. And the order is really important. The peace that Jesus gives is before and underneath and foundational to any of our purposeful deeds or empowered actions or anything else that we do. Peace is about relationships ultimately. And there are perhaps five types of relationships where the crucified, risen Jesus brings peace into your life, potentially. First one is he brings peace between himself and us. That's the first, most obvious meaning of these verses. Perhaps he's standing there among his disciples and in that moment offers them himself as friend and as helper, not as a judge. The second sort of peace he brings is a peace between us and God. That's why God sent him. Justice demands a punishment. If I commit a crime, there should be a punishment, shouldn't there? But actually, even for the wrong attitudes of our hearts, hate, jealousy, selfishness, etc., we are accountable to God and deserve a punishment and a penalty when they aren't according to his ways. So it's not just wrong actions, but these inner attitudes that create a barrier between us and the perfect, holy God. But the wonderful message of Easter is that God makes peace with us by substituting his son's suffering for our punishment, or for the punishment that we deserve. Jesus pays on the cross the penalty, and therefore we're forgiven and set free, and the way is cleared for there to be no barrier between us and our loving Heavenly Father. That's the message of Easter. It's why the curtain in the temple was broken in two. Thirdly, there's a peace between us and others who are in Christ. To be reconciled with God is to be reconciled with all those other people who are reconciled to God. So there's no hostility vertically or horizontally. What that means in practice is there's no racism, no place for classism or sexism. It says no, in the Bible, no Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. We're all one in Christ. It's a wonderful vision in Galatians 3. Fourth type of relationship that peace is spoken into is a peace between us and our souls, actually ourselves. Being forgiven is powerful. We've all messed up and done things that harmed ourselves and others, done things we regret. Some have been harmed by others. So when Jesus says peace with you, he's peace be with you, he's talking about a deep inner peace in our souls and inner healing, if you like. In fact, the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, it's a rich word. It means wholeness and harmony and completeness and welfare, tranquility. It's that sense of being all is well with my soul. It doesn't mean that past sins cease to be painful. It means that they cease to be paralyzing. Pain may not be taken away immediately, but you might be living with the consequences of sins, things that you've done wrong, but the penalty is taken away immediately through Christ. And because of that, it makes it possible to heal and to move on and to find a hope-filled life. Fifth area of relational peace that Jesus brings is a peace between us and the world. It's a funny way of thinking about it. But Jesus' death began a process of healing for the whole world, Christians believe. And one day we have a hope that God will make all things new and there will be a whole new creation and where peace and righteousness reign and there's no disease or pain. And that future hope that we believe in is a great comfort for us in these troublesome days. So peace with Jesus, peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves, peace even in the world. That's what Easter's about. How amazing. So when Jesus says, peace be with you, it is a rich phrase. So how do we receive this peace? Well, it's a gift from God. We receive it, or we walk away from it. Or perhaps it's better to say we receive him or walk away from him, because he is our peace this Easter. And if you have the risen, living Christ as a saviour and as a Lord and a treasure, as a friend, then you have the peace that he gives, the peace that he is. It says earlier in John, to all who receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It says somewhere else that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You find that in Romans 5. Jesus offers you that. It's free. And this Easter, I hope you receive it. And the good news is he offers it to those who are shut in right now. I've never known a time when churches were shut on Easter Sunday, but Jesus is still alive this year. And he gives us the gift of peace because it's foundational. We need peace with God. We will take all of the other gifts and use them to make a peace if we don't know that peace of God. So peace comes first and it's free. Everything else is the effect of that peace, not the cause, it's the fruit. Peace is the root. But let me just point you in closing to the power and purpose that Jesus gives. Both are mentioned in verses 21 and 22. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. That's the purpose. And when he said this, he breathed on them, a strange phrase, isn't it? And said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the power. Earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In chapter 14, you can read it. See, Jesus prepares his disciples for his death and resurrection, saying that he would come to them by his Spirit. So this moment in chapter 20, when he breathes on the disciples, is making a link to a few weeks later when the Spirit comes and there is a rush of wind in another room where the disciples are shut in. It's in Acts 2. It's called Pentecost. We'll look at it more next week. So today the risen living Jesus comes to us by his Spirit and he breathes on us even when we're shut in. Jesus can enter wherever we are and breathe on us and breathe new life into us and empower us with his very presence. And all we have to do is recognize him and receive him. His empowering presence is our hope for accomplishing the purpose he has for us. And he gives us that purpose in the last part of verse 21. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus is saying, I want you to live in the world as my representatives, my ambassadors, if you like. I want you to take my peace and to take my power and glorify my Father in the way I have. It says that in John 12. Jesus comes to us and gives us his peace with God. Then he gives us power to defeat our own selfishness so that we can better love other people. And most of all, better treasure Christ. And when with that peace and that power, he gives us a purpose As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you, he says. I'm sending you to extend my peace and my light and my truth and my life in the world. I'm going to the Father, he said, but I give you my spirit and I am the power within you. So go and glorify me in this world. That's our great purpose. Even when we're shut in, we can know the peace of God by the power of God to do the will of God for the glory of God and for the good of others. That's what I want for us this Easter, that we can be blessed, that we would be a blessing. Amen. There might be just somebody here who all this seems very strange, and yet there's a sense in their heart that they want to make a step of faith. And if there is just one person like that, I just want to pray for you now, because it's a simple step of faith, that first step of faith. It's a step where we just acknowledge our shortcomings and ask for forgiveness and to then turn to Jesus and say, I want to follow you, make you Lord in my life, Saviour. Ask that you fill me with your spirit. And I just want to pray, Lord, if there's anybody here, that you would meet with them as you met with your disciples who were shut in. I pray, Lord, that you would help anybody make that step of faith. And Lord, I also want to just pray for the rest of Jubilee and ask, Father, that you would bless us all, that we would know the peace and the power and the purpose of God, that we would be a blessing to many in these difficult times. We ask you to help us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've made a step of faith or you want to make a step of faith, I just would encourage you to get in contact with us. You can do that via the website. We'd love to help you on your journey of faith if that's something that you would like to pursue. So we look forward to hearing you from you. But for the rest of you, see you next week. Great to be with you. God bless.